A sixth grade teacher posed the following math problem to her class. And then she gave them a few minutes to come up with the answer. She said, a wealthy man dies and leaves $10 million. One-fifth to his wife, one-fifth to his son, one-sixth to the butler, and the rest to charity. Now what does each of them get? She asked. After several minutes and a long silence, one young boy named Joey raised his hand, and with complete sincerity in his voice, he said, each one gets a lawyer. And he's probably right. Where there is a will, very often there's a lawsuit. 2,000 years ago, someone in the crowd called out to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to share the family inheritance with me. How many families have been torn apart over the settling of an estate? I've seen it, and I'm sure you have also. Money can do that to people. Very often at the time of someone's death or at the time of divorce, money can do that to people, tear apart families and friends. Jesus in this gospel refuses to get involved in this family dispute over an inheritance, but he uses the moment to teach a great lesson about wealth, about greed, and about the shortness of life. He tells the crowd a story, a parable, about a rich man who had many, many things and not enough space to store it all. So he decides to tear down his barns and build bigger ones, better ones, to store all his stuff. But before he can finish, he dies. We must remember that when Jesus tells us a parable, he is not just trying to entertain us. He tells parables to shake us up, to make us think. He tells parables to challenge us, to challenge presumptions, and to change hearts. And we must also remember that Jesus, when he tells a parable, when he speaks at all, is speaking to us as well as the people of his own time. And he says in his gospel, take care to guard against greed. One may be rich, but one's life does not consist of possessions. We all know this. We know that our lives are not defined by what we own or how much. And yet, we seem to get caught up in the trap of wanting more and more. We all do. We know that things do not guarantee us any happiness. And yet, just think about how many hours and days and months and years we spend acquiring things, worrying about our possessions, our stuff. Some years ago, George Carlin, a comedian, did a routine about stuff. He said, most of our lives is spent worrying about stuff, acquiring it, protecting it, polishing it, dry cleaning it, insuring it, storing it, moving it, and then trying to figure out who gets it when we die, whether they want it or not. It's not bad having stuff.
We all have stuff.
But notice in this parable today, Jesus' attitude toward the rich man in the parable. He doesn't condemn him. He doesn't call him a sinner. Jesus doesn't even say that it is wrong to have nice things. He simply calls this man a fool. Not because he was wealthy, but because he invested his whole life, his energy, all his time in things, the things of this world. He was rich in the things of this world, but poor in the things that are eternal, the things that matter to God. Relying on our possessions to make us happy or to define us as persons is perhaps the biggest spiritual problem of our age, because we all have so much. Even if we don't think of ourselves as wealthy, we have stuff, lots of it, much more than most of the world, and we want more. No wonder Jesus talked about the use of money more than any other topic in the Gospels. Our possessions can be assets, but they can also be spiritual liabilities. There is so much more to life than stuff. But seeing it, putting it in its proper place, requires the eyes of faith and a change of heart. And it doesn't mean that we neglect our families or their needs, or that we mismanage our resources. It's about getting our priorities straight, making the things that really do matter the most important things in our lives. Storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven means keeping our eyes fixed on the real prize, the real treasure. And the real prize is Christ Himself, who loves us more than we can imagine, and who would die for us, and did. What do you suppose would be his advice to our materialist age, our consumer culture? I think he would say, stretch your heart. Expand your heart. Make it more generous. Choose people over things. Walk away from avarice and greed and envy of people who have more. Learn to let go. Accept both gain and loss graciously. They're part of every life. We gain things, we lose things. Be open. Open to surprises. Have a sense of humor. Welcome everything that truly sets us free. Because the calculating heart will never find peace. There'll never be enough to satisfy it. If we're going to calculate anything, let it be our blessings, the gifts we've received from God. It's okay for us to plan for the future, but let's plan for the big future, eternity. Let us remember that there's only one investment opportunity that yields eternal dividends. It's putting our faith and our trust in God and living as he taught us. That's how we become rich. Rich in what really matters.